My guest today is Gregory Maguire. He has his own spin on The Wizard of Oz. He wrote the novel Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West, which has now become a blockbuster Broadway musical. He's also turned other classic tales like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty on their heads and written lots of original stories for children as well. Gregory Maguire, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, how did you start imagining or reimagining the life of the Wicked Witch of the West?
I was living in England during the first Gulf War, and I began to ask myself questions about how the press was dealing with Saddam Hussein, how they were picturing him and painting him in a way to make morally legitimate the military action about to be taken against him. I was interested in that and interested in my own conceptions about him as a leader. And I thought, I think I should know more about how we legitimize the people we disagree with as villains. I decided at first, since the only way that I know how to think about anything is as a novelist, that I would write a novel about Hitler, find out what made him so evil, find out why his very name was still so scary to me as an adult. Very soon I discovered I wasn't smart enough to write about Hitler. So I went back and thought, well, who else can I write about that is commonly perceived to be a great villain? I flicked through my mental Rolodex, and I came up with Margaret Hamilton as pictured in the 1939 film, saying, "I'll get you and little dog." I had been terrified by that as a child. I was terrified still. So my story began as an exercise to find out how she became so evil.
Well, so you start out to write the novel and you want to explore, inspired by Saddam Hussein and Hitler, I guess, the nature of evil. And then you turn the Wicked Witch into a kind of victimized, free-spirited left-winger. How did that process happen?
It's like the process that by which any parent grows to love his or her new child. I really did intend to write the biography of a villain, of a morally heinous, corrupt individual, like a Hannibal Lecter story. But even though my green-skinned baby, born with sharp teeth and apparently amoral, was intended to grow up to be a terrible villainess, by the time I reached page 25, every time she came onto the page, I would say, "Oh, isn't she cute?" I began to like her despite myself, despite my own aesthetic ambitions. And I began to understand that it wouldn't be easy being green, and it wouldn't be easy growing up in a world in which not only was she the wrong color, she was the only one of that color.
Well, let's hear a little bit from the musical, a song with Idina Menzel as Elphaba, the Wicked Witch, trying to convince Kristen Chenoweth as Glinda the Good Witch to join forces with her.
Unlimited, together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team there's ever been. Glinda dreams the way we we work in tandem. There's no fight we cannot win. Just relay, defying gravity. With you and I, defying gravity. They'll never bring us down.
Gregory Maguire, were you happy with the rendition of Wicked as it exists on stage with all that big, brassy music?
Happy? I am delirious. I remain delirious. The most exciting moment of my 26-year professional life is the moment that the first time in San Francisco about a year and a half ago that the play opened to a paying audience. Glinda, played by Kristen Chenoweth, came down very stylishly in a bubble from the wings, flying and having funny lines and singing in her four-octave voice. And then about 6 minutes later, in a kind of a flashback, Idina Menzel clumping onto the stage in her green skin, thrust herself forward into the footlights, and the audience went wild. My hair jumped on end at the back of my neck that day, and in a sense, it's never gone down. I've had to have a new hairdo since then.
Were you, as a child, interested in, devoted to fairy tales or particular fairy tales?
My parents were very strict. This was due to a sort of fairy tale accident of my own upbringing. My mother died in childbirth. How's that for a fairy tale? That only happens in fairy tales, apparently, except it happened to me. So I lived with relatives and then in an orphanage until my father, whose health was poor, got better and was able to take his children back and marry again a wonderful woman, my stepmother, who raised me. That's a fairy tale beginning. Perhaps because of that beginning, when I read the fairy tales, almost all of which start with a mother dying and leaving a bereft child alone in the dangerous world, well, those stories spoke to me very deeply. I don't know at the time when I was 12 that I recognized how deeply they were speaking. But, of course, they seemed to, didn't they? Because by the time I got old enough to write novels of my own, I wanted to write about those children who were abandoned in a treacherous landscape.
As a fairy tale fan and fairy tale rewriter, are you strict about what makes a fairy tale, about the definition, or are you liberal in that regard?
I'd say that I'm fairly liberal. There is something about the fairy tale that I think suggests a cast of mind that is gratifyingly pre-Freudian. Mm-hmm. Before we needed the language that said all of our conflicts were always going to be internal. We had a different code. We had a different set of terms by which to talk about the stresses in life. Sometimes they were religious terms. Sometimes they were terms having to do with the spirits in the fairy world, or let's say the world of the ancestors. I like those terms. They seem to me both metaphoric and mysterious.
And whether it's a folk tale or a nature myth or a story or a legend, as long as magical things happen, you're willing to call it a fairy tale, I guess.
Well, even maybe it doesn't have to be magical things happen, but as long as the world can be perceived as a place where magical things might happen. My book, Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister, is a fairy tale in a sense, but it's written as a sort of a historical novel. It's set in the 17th century in Holland, and not a single magic thing ever happens in that story, but the young protagonist is a child filled with magic in her head, and she sees what's going on as possibly being evidence of sprites and demons and magical aids and abettors. And that's fairy tale enough for me.